Welcome to Beyond a Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. I'm Chuck Mead.
Hey, I'm Jeremy Autry.
And we're just chilling out here in the studio on a Wednesday night, and we've got our tea, Jeremy, and we also have some special guests.
Yeah, no joke. We are drinking tea like the Queen of England on a Wednesday night. It's really nice, and we have some of our best friends here.
Who is it, Jeremy?
This is Dolan and Kristen Williams.
They are not strangers to the podcast. Welcome, guys.
Glad to be here. This tea is actually really good.
I'm feeling very NPR right now. I don't know if we can say that. This episode is not brought to you by NPR.
It's because we're drinking tea. That's what it is. But it tastes pretty good. And we are very excited. We've actually been thinking about this episode for a long time. Because Dolan had talked to me about a book called Worry-Free Parenting by Sissy Goff. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And he told me about it a while ago, and I read it. It's fantastic. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Jeremy, did you have any thoughts about the book?
I didn't know it was by Sissy Goff, and I have met at a parenting conference or something once. Sissy Goff, she's great.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, she's really, really, really good. But actually, the book was introduced to me by my wife. I refer it to a bunch of my patients and the work that I do.
But tell a little bit what you do, Dolan. I don't know if we brought it up in the last episode or not.
I work in outpatient mental health. I'm a clinician who works with folks on an outpatient basis, ages 16 years old and up.
Okay. And if you guys remember, months ago, we had Dolan and Kristen talking about screens. That was a fun conversation. Now we're talking about worry-free parenting. So I guess, Kristen, this question would be for you, since this book originated with you. You didn't write it, but you're the first one that brought it into this conversation. Why did you read it? What was about it that piqued your interest?
Yeah, so a friend of mine was going through a difficult time with one of her children, who's about 8 years old, and she'd been sharing some details with me for months. And in the meantime, I'd been listening to a podcast where Sissy Goff is one of the hosts, Raising Boys and Girls, I think is the name of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'd heard of her book, Worry-Free Parent, and I'd been wanting to read it for a while, but just hadn't really taken the time. And while my friend was going through this with her child, I really felt led to recommend to her that we read it together. And so she and I read it in about 3 days. And I remember getting a text from her with a picture of the last chapter, and her text said, life-changing. She loved the book. I loved the book. I was really thankful that it blessed her the way it did, but I didn't realize how much it would affect me as well. And we as parents, you know, we're going to worry about our children, but it shouldn't define us. And being able to look at our own lives and deal with our own stuff is really a gift to our children.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Highly recommend the book.
It's been awesome read. It's something Kristen and I talked with Dolan about, and there were just many different things throughout it that were encouraging to me. But what would you guys say made this book so encouraging to both of you overall?
The book was powerful to me in a couple ways. One, you find it very validating to hear that other parents are struggling, you know, with these worries. We all are going to be worried from time to time. It's a natural thing for us parents to worry and be concerned about our children because, you know, it comes out of a deep love that we have for our children. We want the best for them. And in the journey or in the process of learning how to be parents and what God wants us to do, we're in this journey to learn that He's in control anyway, right? And that He's going to help us through this process and simultaneously trying to play the role that He asks us to play. And so this book, I found it very, very encouraging.
Love it. And anything in particular for you, Kristen, that you didn't already mention?
We can unpack a little bit as we go through, but just realizing how much my past or things that may have been passed down to me, I trickle down to my own kids, and how I don't have to live in that from day to day, that there are tools and there are ways for me to combat that and work through that so that I'm not passing those worries or fears that I may have down to my kids, because I feel like it's a thing, especially now, especially after COVID. You hear more and more about kids who are just really worried and anxious. And I think it's good for any parent to read it to be able to help them with those things.
It's good.
There are statistics that I probably should know off the top of my head, but across the board, like professionals are seeing more anxiety and more worry in adolescents and kids now than before. I mean, that's not just anecdotal. This is a reality. So it's something the church and Christian parents need to be aware of.
Yeah.
I think in her book, she said before COVID, the numbers were like something like 1 in 8 kids. And after COVID, it was like 1 in 4. And the age just keeps dropping.
Yeah.
Like 6 is like when it starts to show up, you know.
Yeah. And realistically, that's the number that somebody's aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
There's actually more kids dealing with
that's
it
right.
that nobody's even aware or helping this kid through
mm-hmm.
it.
So what we're going to kind of do in this interview is walk through these. There's 3 sections of the book, Understanding the Past, Hope for the Present, and Hope for the Future. And so we realize, I would hope this interview would pique a lot of parents' interest in getting this book, purchasing it, whether, Kristen, you mentioned you really enjoyed it, audiobook.
Yes.
And that was even, for you, a better experience. I read it, a physical copy. Did you do the audio of it,
Oh, yeah.
Dylan?
I did the audiobook.
Sissy narrates it, and she does a wonderful job.
I love listening to a book and then saying I read it. It's like an empowering thing.
It's reading.
It's true.
It's reading. Unless it's your kid.
So,
unless you're a homeschool mom and your kid says, that's reading.
No, it's reading.
I actually do a lot of audios.
Me too.
So what we're going to do is, obviously we know some people listening this, we would hope, would want to get this book and read it because it would encourage them. But we also know some people, they won't read it. So I hope even just this interview will encourage people to think more about this subject.
Right, and give us some tools, those of us who haven't read it, and maybe someone who's, you know, got a list of books they're going to read before they get to this, maybe you can unpack some of that to spoon feed it to us.
Mm-hmm. So under Understanding the Past, whoever wants to go first, what are some things we as parents should understand about worry and anxiety?
I'll jump off on this question and thinking about beginning the book. Sissy does a really good job of making you feel like that you've just really walked into her office, and really validates parents and helping you to see that the worry that we have, like I was saying earlier, just really comes out of a deep love that you have for your children, and that there are things in our life that we worry about, and sometimes that worry is appropriate, but then sometimes that worry that we have that is designed to come and go like our other emotions will get stuck. And when it gets stuck on a specific fear or a set of fears, we as parents sometimes will start ruminating about them. We'll start
soaking.
Oh, yeah. Soaking in it, getting worried, fearful. And when we do that, those worries start to create behaviors in us that pull us away from God's true design for our life. And when that happens, we start developing coping strategies as parents. And this is what we really need to think about as parents, is some of the strategies we use to deal with our worry and our concern sometimes ends up being more maladaptive and causing more problems, like avoiding people or avoiding crowds, or trying to push our kids to get perfect grades, or we're fearful of being alone with our thoughts, or sometimes we get scared of sensations in our body and we're worried about being dizzy or fainting or you know, having panic in a crowd. And then we start not allowing our kids to go certain places because we're fearful something's going to happen to them. And all of these lead to more and more negative outcomes to children. And this is why I'm really excited that Kristen and I are here with you guys today to talk about this podcast, because as parents, we need to know that it's very natural for us to get anxious and worried at times.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when those anxieties and worries get stuck, that those things can really, really start hindering our impact on our children. And we need to learn some skills to be able to navigate those, get unstuck, and hopefully stop the passage of passing this down to our kids. And this book really helps you do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, seeing and reading it, how high the connection is, not saying no matter what, it's always a parent. You can connect a kid's anxiety to a parent's anxiety, but so often it was. We pass along some of the same worries and fears and mannerisms and onto our children. So it was helpful this book is helpful for not only parents of kids who experience anxiety, but also the parents themselves who are anxious. It was one thing I'll say is, you know, I don't know how much a therapy session costs, but this book is like, what, 10, 15 bucks, Jeremy? You can't beat that cost for a therapy session, man. You know,
we'll run these therapists.
There you go. There you go. Sorry, Dolan. How do parents, well, Kristen, was there anything you wanted to add to that first question that we asked about worry and anxiety?
No.
Okay. So then how do parents' anxiety particularly contribute to their kids' anxiety?
So in the book, she talks about that for every child she sees in counseling, there's at least one parent in the home who is also anxious. Our past hurts mixed with present pressure often dictate our future fear, she says. And she encourages us that this side of heaven, we're going to repeat what has been passed down to us, but that there is grace. Chuck, you were saying that, you know, the book's only $10 or $15 and, you know, therapy, you're talking about that. And that's actually one of her goals is that she's hoping this might keep you out of the counseling office. Now, you know, obviously she loves counselors because she is one. But that's one of the goals is that there's a lot of good stuff in here to help parents that, you know, you may not have to do those things unless you have a child that may be experiencing more than just worry. As we know, our kids are like sponges and they pick up on our every move. I love this memory that I have of Noah when he was a toddler. He's our middle child, and he's 15 now. But when he was about two, I remember I would hold him on my hip and carry him around. And if I were in conversation with somebody, maybe some adults, and it might have been a heavy conversation, more serious, and I might have an emotional response, like, you know, or I don't know. If maybe even crying or I don't know. But he would grab my face. Like he would, if my face was turned away from him, he would put both his little tiny hands and just pull my face around so he could see what my face was. And then he would mirror. You know, if I was sad, you know, he would be. And he's always been that way. He's always checking, you know, for how's this person feeling? What do they look like? And are they angry? Are they upset? Are they happy?
Yeah.
But kids are that way. They're sponges. They pick up on so much. And so some of the ways I think our anxiety contributes to our kids is in the words we use, as well as our behavior, how we handle our own hurts and fears, stressful situations. Sissy talks about that. She talks about how we talk to ourselves is often how we speak to our children. So some of the things, some of the language we use with our own self will often trickle down to our kids. And so when we're not calming ourselves when we're upset, or we're not diffusing maybe scary thoughts, we're not willing to face our fears or move towards living out our values, even when it's uncomfortable, then we can't really expect them to be willing to do that. And they need to see us be calm. They need to see our courage. They need to see us trust in the one who is in complete control.
That's good. So it so much reflects our attitudes. It can be passed down, and we've got to be examining ourselves. So the ultimate job, the ultimate goal of a parent is what in helping their kids with anxiety?
Oh, man. Our ultimate job, I think, as parents is really, and this is hard to do sometimes, we're all pushed to the edge, but is to be the calmest person in the room, to model good self-regulation skills and teach our kids to do hard things through Christ. By being the calmest person in the room, allowing our children to face their struggles, remind them that they're not alone, to help them learn that they don't have to control their emotions, but they can feel them and experiencing them, and that they can trust God with them, they can trust their God-given intuition with them, and that they have the ability to calm their body, to face fears, and to trust their Creator with these things. And they see that when they see us model the self-regulation skills that are talked about in the book, and that we could actually have many, many episodes on flexibility skills. And of course, we'll talk about more of those in a moment. But I think that's the key role of the parent.
So it's important to see, the book does start off with, hey, this is how your anxiety as a parent is passed on to your kids. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just like, hey, your anxiety is killing your kids, and you need to stop being anxious. It goes in, then moves in to tools and other opportunities to help us as parents grow, and to be it. it starts with awareness, really.
Oh, yeah.
I think what, which was very helpful. So then transitioning into help for the present. Oh, Kristen, you had anything to add from that question, last question?
No, I was, just, I mean, other than just as a mom, I think I sometimes want to help when I see my kids having to do something hard or uncomfortable or something that might make them uneasy or even cause them to worry, and is this instinct to want to help and sometimes over help. And Sissy talks about that it's so important for kids to be able to do things that are just beyond their reach,
mm-hmm.
because that is what, that's the needful thing for them to be a little bit uncomfortable and then be able to overcome maybe that thing that's so hard, because they're going to be adults, and we want them to be able to handle those situations that are going to come, and they are going to be stressed, and they are going to have to do hard things. So that was helpful for me.
That's good. I feel like we've had conversations similar about that, Jeremy, of if we just get our kids out of every single problem and uncomfortable situation, it's not setting them up for success as adults.
Yeah, because as parents, as they get older, we want to set them up for opportunities that are big and that where they make their own decisions and they deal with their own stuff while there's still a safety net, mm-hmm. while there's still somebody to come alongside of them if it becomes too much for them.
Absolutely.
Instead of just shoving them out of the nest and saying, figure this out. You know what I mean? But we want to do that. We want to protect them, but we can't protect them until they're 40. I mean, you can, but that looks weird. You know?
I remember at age 12 being at camp and my dad would say, oh, I was homesick, and my dad would tell me, hey, man, I know you really want to come home, but I'm going to check on you tomorrow. Let's just try one more day. I think you can do it just one more day. What mayor badges are you working on tomorrow? Because this was scout camp. And the next day, I'd be like, oh, Dad, I'm feeling a little bit better, but I still want to come. He's like, well, let's just try it. Let's just make it one more day. I'm going to be there tomorrow, and I can come check on you in person. And every day, as you knew where this is going to go, was one more day. But it was such a huge accomplishment to be able to make that camp, to be able to be there, and to stay that whole time and know that I can cope and make it through something like that. And, well, I'm 50 years old and telling you about it today.
That's amazing. What's also amazing about that is Dolan's microphone just fell off the table, but Jeremy saved it.
Once.
Fell off again.
Here we go.
Okay. Also, send your kids to camp.
So moving on to the next section of the book that talks about help for the present. It talks about help for the body, the mind, the heart, and help for our kids. So starting with help for the body, can you explain a little of the science behind anxiety and its effect on the body?
Yeah, this is a really fun topic, and there's a lot to learn here. But what you really need to know is that we, as you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made by a creator who's given us this amazing autonomic nervous system in our body that allows us to keep us ourselves safe, get excited about life, and even feel emotions deeply. Mm-hmm. It's not just there to keep us safe, but as we journey through life, this nervous system is shaped by positive and negative experiences, and it begins at 8 months old.
Mm.
When you're in the crib, parents in the next room arguing, it will have these like little biofeedback meters and can see the amygdala, which is in a part of the autonomic nervous system, wake up, and that the child is aware of what's going on, and it begins to sync with the parent's brain. That's why it's very important for us to learn regulation skills around our kids. So our experiences, positive and negative, shape this autonomic nervous system. And sometimes this can make us as parents a little hypervigilant, especially if we've had trauma in our life or if we have learned to overly worry. Your body may respond to situations in ways that it feels like this is catastrophic when it's really not. Your body will get a false alarm. When you feel that false alarm from various different parts of the brain, you'll read more about that in the book. And when that happens, it awakens things in your body like tight chest, heart palpitations, sweaty palms, and you can get these very scary feelings. And especially if it's something's triggered it that is from your past trauma or a negative experience or from overly worrying and you don't know where it's coming from, it can be really scary. The good news is this, is that we can learn through our biblical worldview and learning some flexibility skills. We can learn to breathe in a way, and you'll learn about box breathing in the book, to apply our parasympathetic nervous system, slow our system down, ground ourselves, focus on the present moment, and then be able to see more clearly where some of these thoughts and feelings and sensations are coming from. And when you do that, your brain and your body then can develop a different neural pathway to respond differently. But in order to do this, it can be kind of tricky. You know, it's sort of like quicksand. If you fall in the quicksand, your body says run, jump, swim, crawl, and all of those things will make you sink more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know some of these flexibility skills, you'll try to do all the things that actually makes the anxiety and worry worse in your children
yeah.
as well as yourself. But if you know to get on top of the quicksand, your arms and legs, and roll out instead of trying to swim and jump, you can get out.
Mm-hmm. So this is basically two podcasts for the price of one. You now know how to survive an encounter with quicksand.
Exactly.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I love it. There's, it's so interesting how, and I've read this and in another book I was telling you, Dolan, in how there's scientific proof and studies on how the brain works that falls right in line under the design of our creator. And these, while in some areas of science you see opposing viewpoints, but really along with scriptures and the mind and stuff, it's so fascinating to see how these connect, how the science of this connects with the biblical worldview. And that was encouraging to see and encouraging from a Christian perspective on this. Anything else along with the science? Kristen, you're a scientist, so you want to... When you've taught science as a homeschool mom, you're a scientist. You might as well be. Right, Jeremy?
Love surviving the teenage experiment. You know, there's science there.
It is true. So let's move on where it talks about health for the mind. Where would you encourage parents to start in replacing negative thoughts... talks about with this in the book, with truthful ones?
The first question I think that I'd love to encourage parents to ask is, what worry seems to be shrinking their life the quickest and the fastest? What worry seems to be affecting their personal life or their relationship with their husband or friends or their children the most? When you start asking about this, what is pulling me away from my dependency on Christ? What is causing me... what fear is causing me to be more rigid or fearful or controlling of my family or controlling of myself because of many different fears? When you start asking that and really looking around and taking a breath and starting to observe those things, you'll start uncovering some of your deepest fears. And when you do that, you'll start noticing which fears are causing you more psychological pain and affecting you and your children. So you really, as a parent, want to start noticing that. Because when you do, then that observing, like you were talking about a while ago, Pastor Chuck, when you're able to observe it and see it, you start to be able to get it out of your chest and into your hand. And you're able to see it a little more clearly. And then through prayer and learning biblical truths and truths that you see in your family, that your family loves you and that your kids are doing all right, even though you're having these crazy worries about ruining your children or that you're going to fail them in some way. When you can observe these thoughts more, you're able to walk through these flexibility skills that Sissy is talking about in the book, which she teaches one type of flexibility skills, cognitive behavioral therapy, which allows you to start working through those fears. As it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. And so you'll learn these skills, notice what these worries are, being able to calm your body and replace thoughts like, I'm going to fail my kids. And then being able to replace that with, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me and He's in control. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to reflect upon difficulties you had as a child and how your parents weren't perfect and that how God has brought you to where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things together help in a process of renewing of your mind, opening up space, and that's a key,
yeah.
of getting you free to turn back towards your values in Christ and get back out into life instead of avoiding making friends because you're so anxious or holding your children back from doing something because you're scared something's going to happen to them, and many other fears that we could discuss and identify.
Oh, yeah. And there's so... we just heard a message from our pastor tonight on renewing your mind from Scripture, and... I recently read a book called Winning the War, In Your Mind by Craig Groeschel, and he talks about some of these same things I found in this chapter of, yes, there is replacing negative thoughts with truth or false, believing lies and replacing them with the truth. And so that has just been very helpful to see you do this through the power of the Holy Spirit, but we get in these habits of believing lies and these getting these ruts, basically. But that was very helpful. Now, moving on to help for the heart, what is anxiety's effect on our heart, and why is it important that we know what they are?
Oh, man. When you get really scared and fearful, and you can sit alone for a little while, and you start noticing how much the anxiety and worry is affecting you, you may start noticing that you've been neglecting yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And when you're neglecting yourself and you're starting to get burnout and deprived, well, it's like when you get on an airplane and the oxygen mask drop, you put the oxygen mask on you first, mm-hmm. and then your child. So if you're not taking care and guarding your heart and taking care of you, then you won't have the strength, you won't have the things that you need to be able to take care of your children. And so when these worries are so controlling, so demanding, and bringing you to a place to avoid, and you're becoming so uncomfortable, that starts affecting your heart, your ability to be able to be present with other people in your life. You start having difficulty potentially managing tension in your body or being around crowds. You become less flexible, less playful with your children, less playful with your husband and your family. And that can be hard. However, when you're willing to stop and notice that and increase your self-care, and begin to maybe have a prayer partner and pull in a tool like this book we're talking about with Cissy Goff, and being able to minister to your heart, then you really can start growing again and become more playful and being able to face your fears. An example I wanted to share with you guys, there was this fella down at Camp Tuscarora. We were there with this big Cub Scout group, and we were there for this big slide called the Big Blue. And this dad came over to a lifeguard, and he said to the lifeguard, "Has everybody had a chance to go?" And the lifeguard said, "Yeah, sure." And so the dad turned around and he said, "I'm going to do it." And then all of a sudden, his son comes running up, and he goes, "Oh my gosh, Dad, are you really? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it?" And he was like, "Yeah." And he walks over, picks up his lifeguard, not his lifeguard, but his life vest, and he starts walking over to the steps to go up to the very top of this huge tower where the Big Blue slide begins. These Cub Scouts started gathering around and cheering him on. These other dads were going over to the side of the slides, getting their cameras ready. He gets to the top. The lifeguard says, "Okay, whenever you're ready." The dad starts to fumble around just a little bit. He takes a big breath. You could just see his face turning colors. He takes his huge leap, jumps in feet first, and just flies down this slide, and it launches him out into the lake. Mm. He comes over to the edge, and I walk over, and I'm like, "Wow, man, you got a fan club." And he goes, "Oh, no, they're just so surprised that I would do it." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Man, I'm scared of heights." And I said, "For really?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I try to find something higher and higher to go on because I want to show my kids how to face their fears."
Wow. Oh, wow.
And he had a negative experience growing up as a child. And his nervous system reacts when he gets on ladders or anything. He gets up a certain bit because of certain conditioning. Mm-hmm. And so he's using a process of cognitive behavioral therapy of exposures to widen his spectrum of being able to go up into higher places. And he's also, through his heart, shepherding his children and helping them learn how to face their fears.
Mm, that's awesome. Have you ever done that, Jeremy? Have you ever gone on a big slide?
No, actually, I'm doing the opposite with my life. I'm trying to go less high every day.
You started out big. So then this last part of this chapter talks about help for our kids. So how can parents be the agent of change in their kids' fight against anxiety?
So God has placed us in positions to be the greatest change agents for our children. And we can do that, Cissy shares in the book, by validating their feelings, providing empathy, and helping them understand that these emotions aren't meant to be stumbling blocks, but milestones in their life. Also, she talks about how self-care is not selfish, but important. And we can also make sure our kids know how they are so deeply loved.
Mm.
It's one of the most important things.
That is good. So it offers hope. I mean, that's what that, well, that section was on help, but it's not. So it points out the effects of anxiety at the beginning of the book. Then it says, hey, you can have, you have access to tools that can help you in this present battle or struggle with anxiety and worry. But then it moves into hope for the future. So how would you encourage parents, and it talks about perfectionism, so how would you encourage parents who struggle with perfectionism?
Letting enough be enough. So sometimes we just push too hard. Someone who is a perfectionist is just maybe pushing too hard, and Sissy really goes into some strategies to help parents who struggle with this to try a softer approach with their kids. And she goes into a lot of great detail about how to do that, and she gets really practical. Because if our expectations are too high and we drive too hard, then you can just imagine the outcome of that. It can create resentment, which we don't want. No parent wants that, and they're not purposefully doing that in their perfectionism. And so she really speaks to the heart of the parent that is struggling with that and truly deep down doesn't want to pass that on. And she offers a lot of help for how to parent when you are a perfectionist.
I love the encouragement she gives. It's not like beating parents up who are perfectionists or who deal with anxiety. And she says over and over, you have this anxiety because you love your children and you want what's best for them. And you may have a tend towards perfectionism because you really want the best for them so badly. And I love that she uses that lens to not just like, you know, beat you up at the beginning, but to see that. But what does it mean? She brings up this phrase, trust your gut, in the book. What does it mean to trust your gut, and how does it fall in line with trusting God?
Yeah. So these two are not in contradiction with each other, trusting your gut and trusting God, when we are trusting the Holy Spirit to be that voice of intuition. She uses the word intuition a lot. And the Holy Spirit, He is the wisest counselor, and He's not anxious a bit. That's what's so comforting. And intuition is a gift. And for a parent, it's one of the greatest gifts. Sometimes we can't hear that intuition, that that voice, because the worry is speaking so loudly. It captivates our focus and makes us question everything we do, including our gut intuition. But God can use it to deepen our understanding of our kids, of ourselves, and His immense love for us all.
I love that. So it's really just, hey, this is, as a follower of Jesus, this is the Holy Spirit at work giving you this intuition, this confirmation. It's never in contrary to God's word.
Right.
It's always in line with that. I love that.
So how do I know, not me personally, but hypothetically, I'm a parent struggling with anxiety, and this anxious situation feels like my gut. How do I know this is not my intuition, but this is my anxiety?
Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good question.
It's probably not in the book. We're writing another chapter.
It's a very good question, because obviously some worry and some anxiety is needed and natural and necessary and quite healthy. I mean, if we didn't have that, we would walk out in front of cars, right? We'd need certain anxieties and worries. But when your anxiety and worry is causing some clinical impairment in some other area of your life, such as your child is too anxious to go to camp now because we've overprotected and they're fearful of being around people because you are fearful of someone kidnapping them or taking them away. You know, your child is scared to be out in crowds because you are fearful of being out in crowds, and so on. When you notice that, that will let you know that you've got an anxiety or worry that is sort of distorting your intuition. And so that's the question that you want to ask. Is my gut feeling right now pulling me away or shrinking or my life and my child's life or my family's life, or is it helping it to grow and flourish into the life Christ really wants for me?
Gotcha.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I feel so much better now.
That's great. That wasn't even scripted. Final question in line with this. How can you encourage parents to trust God as they wrestle with worry, as this is something they're walking through?
Oh, man. I would say take a huge, deep breath, a few of them, and then realize that we are on a journey to become like Christ. It's not an event. It is a process to slow down and to begin to be curious about your worries. Get a little curious about them. Get a little curious about some of your fears of asking questions, even in prayer. God, where did this fear come from? How did it first begin and develop? Bring in a tool like this one that we're recommending. There's a few out there. Sissy Goff teaches one set of flexibility skills. There's quite a few out there, but I love her book, and I think it'd be very helpful to you. And then begin trusting the process of prayerfully walking through with a biblical worldview, applying some of these flexibility skills, and letting go of your self-criticism, letting go of your unfair expectations of yourself and of your family, and use this resource and just ask Christ to walk with you. He's there with you. He doesn't want to leave you. He's walking with you every step of the way, and He's got it.
Mm-hmm.
God's got your children. He's got them.
That's good.
Yeah, it's interesting and so comforting that in Scripture, whenever someone is told not to fear, it's always followed up with context. And Sissy in the book, she talks a lot about how worry is always looking for context. In other words, worry attaches to things that matter most to us. So failure, worst case scenarios, fears about the kids we love. But Jesus moves us from context to context, and He replaces the context of our worry with the context of His truth.
Mm-hmm.
He graciously and He consistently gives us the why behind not having to worry. He gives us a reason not to fear, and He wants us to experience Him in the present. So He wipes away the burdens of our past and the worries of the future so that we can be in the moment with Him. And we see this. There's so many scriptures. Don't fear. I'm with you. Don't fear. I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. Do not be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. My peace I leave you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. We can truly trust Him.
It's good.
It is beautiful. So here's the deal. Big picture. Draw back and see this from the 10,000 foot view. There's a God who's completely in control of the universe, who loves your kids more than you love your kids, and who chose your home for them. You're good enough. God Himself said, you're the right parent for these kids when He placed them there. So, and He also is, as the King of the universe, He can take these horrible things from our past, our trauma, our pain, the things that cause us to have anxiety, and use them to bring Himself the most glory. The question is, are we going to trust Him with that?
So true.
If we will turn to Him, trust Him to grow us, and look for things outside of ourself. We're not trying to peddle this book. But we do. If this is something you're facing, we want you to find Christ-centered sources, resources that you can use to get past this and to be more like Christ and to parent the way He wants you to parent. So do that, but don't live in the pit of feeling like you can never be a good parent and your kids are doomed, because that's absolutely not true. God is going to use you as you focus on growing and becoming more like Christ. Teach your kids to grow and become more like Christ. And they are going to leave our homes with some scars and some warts, and there's no denying that. But God's bigger than that too. The real question is, are we going to be on board? Are we going to work with God as He works in the lives of our kids? Or are we going to be something else for Him to work around and in spite of? And I want to be part of His team. So I'm going to dig in and learn to roll out of the quicksand. And I might even read a book. Maybe. I'm down with listening to books. I love it.
So thank you guys for spending time with us and being willing to answer these questions. This has been awesome.
It has been. Thanks for spending your Wednesday evening with us.
Thank you for this.
And bet. It was great tea.
I'm impressed.
It's the best tea I've had all day.
Better Starbucks medicine.
Hey, there we go.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
Peace out.
Bye, guys.